Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome to the church this morning. It's good to see everyone. It's good to see some visitors with us and come for the first time, and you're especially welcome if you went to either Lee's, Kathy Lee's. After the service today, there's tea and there's coffee which will be served, and cakes and goodies, so please stay behind if you're able to be good to have a chance to chat together. The service this morning is led by the Challenger Bus team. I'm here just very fleetingly for 5 minutes, and then I hand over to John and the Challenger Bus team who will be leading the service both this morning and the English Fellowship this evening at 8 p.m. will be led by them also. The Gaelic service will be conducted by Mr. Angus McLeod, and that will be at 6 p.m. tonight. Various things in the course of the week as usual, just to remind yourselves of. The Ladies Bible Study meets at 8 p.m. on Monday, that's tomorrow, First Fruits Tuesday, 7:30 in the Church of Scotland Hall. Go to the recovery meeting on Tuesday at 8 here in the Community Centre, and the prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 here in the Community Centre. All are welcome to these meetings, apart from the Monday night one, you're not welcome unless you're willing. The service of next Sunday will be taken, God willing, by myself, and there, as has been intimated in the last couple of weeks, there are lists of hospitality teams, which I believe are at the front, or they will be at the front when you're leaving, and you can see the lists on the table at the front door. Two more things. The joint congregational barbecue with Scalp and Leaverborough will be held on the 11th, that's Saturday, 11th of June, at Shillabos, and everybody is most welcome to come to that barbecue. That's Saturday, 11th of June, and we'll give you the times posted to the event. And there is also planned an AGM and a congregational meal on the 17th of June. And that will be here in the Community Centre. Again, times and the details will follow. But that will be an evening where there's a very brief bit of business to do. We'll have a meal together, and there'll be the chance to get an update and also to give some input, some feedback on the proposed designs for the end of the building. Should we be successful in getting the change of use, which is now ongoing. These, I think, are all the intimations. So, we're going to begin by singing from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, and we sing, I think it's from verse 1 to verse 5 of the Psalm. The words are on the screen. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. Down to the end of verse 5. And we stand to sing to those.
I waited for the
Lord
my God,
and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear.
ones and twos at the end of the children's talk. I think John and Jean will be giving the children's talk after the next term, and then after the children's talk, the primary ones and twos will go through to the Sunday school, and the rest, and preschool. Preschool, the primary ones and twos will go through to the first Sunday school class. The rest of the children will stay in, and I believe John will be speaking to them, as well as he'll be speaking to us. And John will also tell you about all the exciting things. Are you ready for the Challenger Bus, boys and girls?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound really loud. Are you ready for the Challenger Bus?
Yeah.
What? Well, John will tell us all about how things are organised for the course of this week in just a minute. But before I hand over to John, I'm just going to take a minute and let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the words of the psalm that we were just singing. We thank you that you are our God and you are our Saviour. And you are the one who takes us from the fearful pit. You're the one who takes us from the mighty clay that sometimes we find ourselves in life. And you set our feet upon the rock, and the rock is Jesus. Lord, we know that we can't save ourselves, we can't get rid of our own sins, we need somebody to save us. And we thank you that this is a psalm that points us forward to the one who would come to save us and lift us from all the sin that we are in, and set our feet on the rock that is himself. We thank you that in Jesus we are forgiven all of our sins. We thank you that in Jesus, when we trust in him, we are given life in this world, which is full and it's joyful, and that has got purpose. And we thank you that in Jesus we are given not only life for this world, but we're given that eternal life, that never-ending life that he promises to all who believe in him. And so we pray that this morning, as we look to Jesus, that you would give us hearts that are like too strong, that we would believe, that we would be ready, that we would hear all that you have to say to us, and that we would trust you. We pray for John, we thank you for him, and we thank you for the message that you've given him to share with us this morning. We pray that you would help him in speaking and help each one of us in listening. And we pray for all the challenges of us here, some of them here and some of them at the Church of Scotland this morning. And we pray that you would bless them today and in the course of the week. We pray for the service in the Church of Scotland and ask that you would bless that, as we pray that you would bless us and lead us and guide us here. And we pray for every other place in Harris where the gospel message is preached, the Free Presbyterian Church and all the other fellowships where there is that desire to lift up the name of Jesus. We pray that you would work through every one of these places, and that many people today would put their faith in Jesus. So we pray for this service today. We pray for all the days of this week and all the messages that will be shared. We pray for the wee ones that will come to the bus, and the teenagers, and the parents who hear bits and pieces in the course of this week as well. And we ask, Lord, that we would know that by your Spirit you're with us, and we pray that you would work in and through your people here. We ask, Lord, for those who would love to be with us this morning, but who can't be. We pray for some who are still in hospital. We remember doing that especially. And we ask that you would give him strength, that you would make him fully well, and we pray that we would see him back here before too long, if that's your will. We pray for Dola. We thank you that she's come through her operation, and we thank you that we hear she's coming back home today. Give her safety on the plane as she travels, and we ask, Lord, that you would be near to her as she comes back to her home. And we pray for others who are due to come out of hospital next week, for Joan McCaskill, and for others that come to our minds, who are in hospital, who are somewhere at home and are being treated, some who are struggling with different things. Whatever it is need, Lord, whatever we can think of people in our mind's eye just now, we ask that you would draw near to them and that you would bless them. We ask now that you would continue with us and that you would lead us by your Spirit, that we would worship you on this your day. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand over now. I think maybe if you go over to sound this might be a bit too loud. Just so we get the volume right. Maybe John's got a bigger voice than me. We'll have to find out in the next minute or two. But I'll hand over. We'll take the happy with us in the new day. And I look forward to hearing what God is going to say to you.
I was a farmer, and on the farm, I didn't have to put my time out.
We just shouted at the door.
Okay. It's good to be here. Joy to be with you this morning. And we want to continue in praising God. We want to sing the hymn, well-known hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And maybe we could stand and sing that. Just as Jane is going to come on and share what God has put in our heart for the younger ones. I think I need a lot of sight. My wife keeps telling me never to use the word guys, because in her vocabulary this means male. So will you come forward, everyone?
Now, what do I have in my hand?
Water.
Do you know, what do we use water for? We use water for drinking. Any other things that we may use water for?
Washing your hands,
that's always good. So that's drinking and washing that we use water for. Well, do you know, in the Bible, right, there was one time that Jesus, he was a wee bit tired on his journey, and he sat down beside a well. Yeah? And a lady came along, and she said, he asked her for a drink. And the lady said, well, you've got nothing to get water out of the well. And he said to her, do you know, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me for water, because I have living water, and I can give living water to you, and then inside of you will be a well that will spring up to everlasting life. So Jesus is the one that can give us living water, living water. And you know, the Bible is like that water, like living water, because you know, when you read the Bible, or if somebody reads the Bible to you, it can encourage you, just like we were talking about, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, the Bible can encourage us and teach us many different things from it. And the other thing, somebody said to me, the water can be used for washing our hands. Was it you that said it? Can be used for washing our hands. Can be used for cleansing us. And again, the Bible also says that. The Bible says that the Word of God is like water that washes us. And I have a story from last year, because my sister was over in Lewis last year, and she got speaking to two young girls. I think they were about 12 years old. And she decided to send them a Bible, right? And readings, daily readings in the Bible, because it's always a good thing to read your Bible every single day, or have somebody read it to you. And so my dad and mum, they came over on holiday and they brought it over to her. And she was so excited to get this Bible and to read it. And she was so excited that she sat down and she started to read it. But she lives with her grandparents and her mum. And her grandpa asked her, look, you've left all these dirty dishes over here. You need to clean them first, wash them, put them in the dishwasher and clean them. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. And she stamped her feet. Do you ever do that? Stamped her feet, slammed the door. And she said, I am going to read my Bible. Right, do you know what? She opened up her Bible and it said in it, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Do you think she was doing that? Do you think she was murmuring and complaining about having to wash the dishes? I think so. But you know, God spoke to her from the Bible. And she went and she said, Grandpa, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm going to wash the dishes, put them away, and then I'm going to read my Bible. So the Bible can be like water that gives us life, and it can also be water that makes us clean and cleanses us. But I was also thinking, you know, I went through there and I asked the ladies, can I get a glass of water? And they just turned on the tap and they got water for me. Do you know, and I thought, it costs people an awful lot. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. How did the water get to the tap? Do you ever think about that? How do you think the water got to the tap? From the sea. Maybe it came there, but, you know, from rivers. And then it has to go to purifying, and it has to go through long, big pipes. You know, people have to dig it. And then
it comes from the pipes.
Yes, and it comes from the pipes. You know, it costs a lot of money to bring water to your houses. Even in Perth and all different places, it costs somebody time and energy. And you know, we can drink water from the Bible, like living water, and get cleansed. But you know, we read the Bible and we can understand it. But it costs Jesus everything. You know, Jesus came down from heaven, he lived and he died on a cross so that we could come to know him and have everlasting life within us. It cost him his whole life so that we could come to know him and to know that cleansing that comes from Jesus. And so that's why we're going to finish off singing, just about how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. And Kathy, are you going to start? I think you might know it, right?
Do you want to start?
Do you want to start? We've got actions for it first.
Jesus' love is very wonderful.
Well, that one, do you
have? It helps make your little embarrassed. Raise your hands a little bit. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get around it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful plan. I'm sure the children will do it.
Don't hit your neighbour. Don't slap at somebody in the head.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it.
Testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Amen. Just one point in that short. Many of the Samaritans, and they believed because of what the woman had testified. But when Jesus appeared in the scene, they believed because of the word of God. And many more believed because they actually heard the word of God and the word of Christ from his own mouth. If we turn to Isaiah 55, we've got three invitations given in the Bible. And I just want to read them. Isaiah 55, verse 1-3. And again, it's talking about thirst, actually. It says there in verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." That's an invitation from the Father. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." A reference of coming to Jesus. And it goes on. And you see, three times it mentions the word hearing in different forms. "Hearken diligently unto me. Incline your ear. Hear." Now, I've been taught that when you see a great emphasis on something once or twice or three times, you have to pay special attention. And that was an important scripture for me, and we'll come to that later. In Matthew 11, that's an invitation from the Father. In Matthew 11, we see it coming from through Jesus' lips. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30. This is lightning back. In Perth, I can hear the pages coming over. Praise the Lord. Although you probably wouldn't see that here, but we would say praise the Lord quite a lot in our services, and that's no problem. "Come with me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus putting forth the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Revelation 22, we hear the same invitation coming from the Holy Spirit. Right at the end, that last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 17. "And the bride," and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, "and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whoever will, let him take the waters of life freely." Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Could we sing in Christ Alone? It's in Mission Grade 1072. Wonderful words. And obviously many of you here know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, but you couldn't sing that song with that hymn with such feeling. I like particularly, "And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on thee. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Jesus." A little bit of testimony to start off with. I was born, obviously, got that bit right, toward the end of the war, and my parents were Christians. They went to the local church of Scotland, though from an early age I was taken to church, or to the Sunday school, to the Bible class, to youth fellowship, and whatever followed on after that. In 1965, I met my wife, who stays in Muthal, which is just along the road a wee bit from where I was brought up, and we met. Neither of us were Christians, but somehow, as we found out later, God's hand was on us. And in January 1969, we got married, and we went to live on a farm down near Errol, which is between Perth and Dundee. So I started farming on my own account. And we went to the local church, which, because I had been brought up that way, I suppose, I went to church every Sunday. I never, ever missed a Sunday. My father had taught us not to work on Sunday, apart from feeding the cattle and the sheep and things that had to be done, we never harvested. And he did once, actually, and he was so disgusted with himself after an hour, he said, "Get that combine back in the setting." I do remember that. I was just a wee lad at the time, very bad harvest. He was so sorry, he gave in to the temptation to actually break the Sabbath. That was the upbringing I had. Very secure, very loving. Thought I was a Christian because my parents were Christians. And it wasn't till 1984, by which time we'd been married 15 years, getting on for 40, very nearly 40, and a minister came and visited us in our house. He was actually a Baptist minister. I had known him as a teenager. He was actually working a mission in Edinburgh for a while, where he was. And he challenged me in my own house. Did I know if I was saved? Or did I know if I was going to heaven? I can't remember quite the words he used. I argued with him. Well, it's a proper stupid argument, not as bad as it was then. But that's just rubbish. My philosophy, or my theology, well, it wasn't theology at all. My notion was that if you lived a good enough life, you were tipped into heaven. And if you lived a bad life, you were tipped into hell. So, and really, it was by works I would be saved because I was good. And I thought I was pretty good. I was an elder, that time I was session clerk, and chairman of the local PTA, very involved in local things. I was in farming politics in the NFU. A busy, busy guy. But Keith, that was the minister's name, he wasn't able to convince me, but he had a degree of wisdom. He left me a book to read by an Episcopalian. I can actually just about bring every denomination into play as I gave my testimony, because my grandparents were Free Church, my father was brought up in the Free Church, I was in the Church of Scotland, now I mentioned the Baptist Church, this guy was an Episcopalian who wrote this book. But they were all Christians. That's the beauty of it. They were all in his family. And as I read this book, I realised that this fella wrote the book, his name is just going out of my head right now. Anyway, when he wrote the book, he had a relationship with Jesus Christ that I didn't have. He prayed and he saw his prayers answered. His wife had cancer, with warts and all, I tell you. And the first time she had cancer, he prayed and she was healed. She had cancer again and she died the second time. It was a very low point in his life. To say it was warts and all, but it did not shake him in his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And after I read that book, the one thing I knew, I didn't know God. I would have just put it as simple as that. I didn't know God. I went to say Jesus, I went to say Holy Spirit, I didn't know God. I really didn't know much theology at all, or truth, the Word of God. I didn't know God. And what stirred in me by the Holy Spirit was a desire to know this God that the writer of the book knew. I wanted to know him. I wasn't so much conscious of being a sinner, though undoubtedly I was, and I'll come to that, but I didn't know God. I just knew I did not know God. And one Sunday there was a visiting preacher in Errol, and he announced a hymn. I know we're in a free church, but this is what happens. He announced a hymn. And it was scriptural. It is, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew." Which is what Christ did to the disciples. He breathed on them toward the end of John's Gospel, and they were filled with new life. I sang that, but I'm not much of a singer. So it wasn't my great singing, but behind that there was a cry to know God. to know this God of the Bible, to commence a living relationship with Him, not fully understanding at all what that would mean. And you know, at this time, these few lines, stepping back home, where I always sat. And that's what God did. By His Holy Spirit, He breathed on me, and He filled me with new life. I felt like, truthfully, getting up and running around the church, just praising the Lord, but I was too Presbyterian at that point to do it. That's what I felt like. I just really thought, man, this is my life. Oh, there's no reason I'm going to do that. She had come to faith in the Lord Jesus maybe a couple of years earlier, but she never said much to me about it. She just knew my aunt. She actually was watching television. Remember the program used to be on after Grampian News at night called Reflections. Reflections that touched her heart at night. She went up on her knees and asked Christ to be her Lord and Savior. That's mercy to God. Anyway. I went home that day and I was literally flying high. I said, Lord, everything's going to be alright. You know, this love of God so consumed me. It was like a warm blanket coming around me. And it just consumed me. I was consumed with the knowledge that God loved me. I couldn't have said that the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father, I didn't know any, but I knew one thing, He loved me. And, you know, in Luke's Gospel, I think it's Luke's Gospel, when Jesus started His ministry, I think I've got it down, Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. Jesus, quoting from Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And within days, I knew. I had a girlfriend when I was at school, these days, fairly innocent thing, and then when I went to agricultural college and she went to St. Andrews University, the relationship continued till it was broken off, and I don't even know why it was broken off. But I never ever got over that. It was like, could never get away from memories. I loved my wife, but she knew I couldn't get away from memories. It was like, just memories plaguing you, twisting you. Just, you know, causing division between Helen and I, whatever. She knew, I knew, and I could do nothing about it. Without as much as asking the Lord, that day He came into my life, that bondage was broken over my life. He comes to set the captives free, you see. And He did that. He comes to set us free from sin. I knew I wasn't a sinner. I knew, rather, I was a sinner, but I knew that sin had been taken from me. I had been cleansed. I knew that. And then the Lord said, "Now you've got to tell your wife." When I say He said, it wasn't like the word. It was just such a strong impression. "You've got to tell your wife what you've been like behind your back." And I said, "No, Lord, no. No. You forgive me. I'm clean now. I don't want to do it." He said, "You've got to do it." I thought, this will pull our marriage apart. But eventually, and that's one thing God looks for. He looked for perfect obedience in His disciples and became obedient. And by the grace of God, He healed our marriage and joined us together as we had never been before. I can remember coming around the corner of the farm buildings and seeing him. She's a great one to date. Almost as good as you guys here. Great one to date. Next one. She's working in the kitchen. And I just stopped in my tracks. And God filled me. I just started praying. Still do when I talk about it. He filled me with such a deeper love from my that it's a change of our marriage. Praise God. I love saying praise God, but I do give God the glory and give Him the honour for what He's done in our life. And that is what Christ has come to do. You see, He's come to set the captives free. It's not about religion. It's not about Getting all our eyes in a T's cross. I didn't have my eyes dotted on a T's cross. That's right. When I came to Jesus. I didn't get down on my knees and say, forgive me for all my sin, which is what I should have done. I just said, I don't know you, I want to know you. And in his mercy, he met me in that. Then showed me the depth of my sin, broke the bondages that were on my life, and set me free to his praise and to his glory. That's why I was saying. You know, John 3:16, you all know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believed on him. And that word believe is a very powerful word. It means trust totally and put your whole reliance upon him. The Greek word is not a proven word in English word. That word believe, that other word, is a total trust in him as Lord and Savior. And that is the start of our journey with the Lord. See, John 3:16, God so loved the world. It is a message of love, you see. Powerful love. Powerful love. So high, you can't go over it. So wide, you're not escaping it. So deep, you can't get under it. Amazing love of God, that he should send his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. If you don't know Christ this afternoon, that's how much he loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. That out of obedience to his Father, he went to the cross and suffered agony, whipped, beaten, 6 hours, I think it was, 6 hours on the cross, hanging there, dying. All so that we, by the blood of his shed, could be washed clean and made acceptable in his Father's sight. There is another depth to that too. It says that old man, the old nature, the sin nature, was crucified with Christ. And we live now by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And I thank God for it. So that is the start. How are we doing for time? Not too bad. I'm told that we want to take off. I was insecure when I first knew Jesus. I was insecure because I knew the presence of God in me. The moment he breathed on me and filled me with his life, I knew the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. And I was terrified. If I did something wrong, back into works. You see, it's so easy to slip back into works, trying to work out one's salvation. Not knowing how to come in without believing, not receiving. It was difficult to live it, because I remember we got an invitation to go out and visit friends. They said, well, is this in your will, Lord? Can I do this? Can I not do this? They got to keep the level. I went to the invitation. I was very insecure. And one day, the initial lifting of that was a man had a word of knowledge. Let's talk to that. He had a word of knowledge, and he came up to me. He didn't really know much about me. He said, I think the Lord is trying to tell you, John, you're not walking on a tightrope. And you know, as soon as he said these words, I felt the tension drain out. I knew. I don't know how I knew. I mean, I'm going to get the Spirit. I didn't know anything. But I knew this was from God. God was telling me, God, fine. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Next year, 1985, that probably means nothing to you folk up here. But where I come from, 1985 was the worst harvest in living memory. My father could go back a lot further than I could, and now we can go forward for a few years. It was a bad harvest. We were pretty good, our life was pretty good. I thought it would be. I had tremendous crops of wheat the last 3 years before, made money, and I increased the crops of wheat. It rained from July onwards. It rained and it rained and it rained. It was a bit like being in Harrison. It was just the rain didn't want to stop. It let me in the west. We got what you guys get normal. And the crop went down. And there's one thing about wheat, if it gets wet and wet and wet and wet, it makes the seed sprouts. And once the seed sprouts, it's worthless. So I lost a lot of money that year. You know, the strange thing was, it was really the first storm in life I've gone through since coming to a Christian. I couldn't worry. I shouldn't even worry. You just think, if you've got 20,000 in the bank, you have that, maybe some of you do, you've got an ISA, or you got your monthly check with it, there is suddenly stopped. Your income has suddenly stopped. Would it hit you? Are you in a secure enough place with all support from the state or from your job or from whatever to suddenly stop? Well, that's what it's like. I lost so much money that year that I lost a farm for another 7 years and I never recovered from that. I eventually had to sell up. But in that time, you see, God is doing a work in it. It's not just, you see, by the blessings that you learn of the power of God. It's sometimes in the hard times. It reveals how much you love, and He carried us through them. Eventually, so, the Arable side of the business, our pastor advised us to try and, I have a son, Andrew, who's 47 very years, to try and pass this livestock side. He's seen in Peter's sheep, and have to be on an upland farm. So we sold the Arable side, and that left us at night. We literally had less than that. We sold it down on the table, as an option, we would pay for our flipping. We had no money to buy a house, but we were given that. And God began to show us, as He brought us to nothing, how He could provide. And looking back, it wasn't all that present to go through, but looking back, what do we give of thanks? We can't stop thanking God for the things we've gone through because it brings us into a deeper knowledge of Him. Don't knock always the hard times. If there are God, rejoice in them. The song is in that rejoice, always rejoice. I'm not very good in the scriptures, I've got to that age to work first. You know, it tells us in every circumstance rejoice. And we have learned to do that. We've also learned in that Isaiah scripture. I went to a conference in about 87 or 88. I didn't really, I felt I should go. I really felt compelled to go to this conference. My wife didn't want me to go. So it was a week of great strain in the Cameron house. Because she said, you already said you hate the kids to do this or whatever. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, you don't go to things on a Saturday. Saturday is a family day together. I said, no, I've got to go to this. So it was 10. But I went. I had a little Subaru to pick up at that time. It broke down twice. I got there and I stuffed oil and dirt and all the rest of it. And the minister said to me, "Get my money out for the day." Well, he was pretty near going to power our wishes to want that. I felt like smiling on my but you know, that day was a turning point in my life. I didn't understand what the speaker was talking about. Now, how can it be a turning point if you don't really understand that? I didn't. He was speaking partly on Isaiah 55, "I will make with you an everlasting covenant." He'd been at the Amos Lewis revival when Duncan Campbell was there. He's a man also who felt insecurity and he realized what was going on around and the message of Duncan Campbell, who had it, God is a covenant making, covenant keeping, covenant feeling better than you. Covenant making, covenant keeping, covenant performing God. It's what the church needs to do, certainly what I need to do. And that was the start. It took me 2 or 3 years before, or maybe longer, still well, still learning. I'm not a great intellect. I'm a farmer. Never taught anything but what the Holy Spirit has taken us to in the Bible. But I know this. I know that God has made with me an everlasting covenant, as it says in Isaiah 55, 1 to 3. No one who is a big there's a chap, Boswell, Church of Scotland minister down in the borders, who preached on the covenant for over a year, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, way back in 16 something or other. Of course, our roots, our heritage, the Church of Scotland, from that preacher, came out of a knowledge of God and the covenant keeping God. Covenanters and the persecution they went through. And that has changed my life and given me, well, all of God's grace and mercy, opening up my eyes to what it is to be held secure in God's hand. One day I was reading the Amplified Bible. I usually read the King James, but at that time I had an Amplified. And in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Father speaking, Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what the Amplified says. Put in a lot more words. So this is what God laid into my heart that afternoon as I read that. He's sitting in the office. It was like being almost like being born again. And of course that's not the case, but it was like such a revelation. Because they've been searching for such a security. And then the Amplified says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let me down, relax my hold upon you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do unto me? I think with that I should close. But there is, if you want, read, go home and read Hebrews chapter 6. It's a wonderful chapter. Talking about, just I'll give you one verse right in the middle of it. Talks about all the dangers of falling away. Talks about all the things we know, salvation through Jesus Christ, baptisms, repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. But then it says, from verse 8, and we don't really, I can't see who the writer of Hebrews is, but in verse 9 rather, it says, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And he goes on to open up the relationship that God had with Abraham, brought Abraham into, and saying that same certainty can be. Amen. But the hymn we want to sing, great is thy faithfulness. And basically that ties up everything I have said. God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. If you don't know him today as Lord and Savior, he wants you to know him. If you have insecurities in your life, he wants to bring you to a place of absolute certainty and God's commitment to you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So let's sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's mission phrase, it's number 200. And stand again. Amen. You may be seated. Can I just say that as we go into this week of mission, we are excited. And I love going into the school. In the schools, we're not allowed to preach, not rightly so, I suppose. We're bound by the curriculum of excellency which governs the schools in Scotland. But we are allowed to show a DVD of testimony. And this week in the senior school, there's one on, help me, Corrie ten Boom. That's right, I'm doing it. You think I remember the name, but sometimes names just go. Corrie ten Boom, and the one in for the younger classes is Bill Bevere for some of them, and tomorrow. John Bacon. Some people you have heard of, some you know. I'm sure many of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom. It's a wonderful presentation on the power of God to move in a life and to set her free and able to forgive even the most callous of Nazi guards in that prisoner war camp that she ended up in. So that's what we do in the schools. At night we let her hair down. I might even be seen kicking a ball around, although I've got to watch, dangerous it might. And we have fun with the children, as many of them know. We have fun, but we also have a message to impart, which is the love of Jesus Christ, and how they can come into that saving knowledge of the precious blood of Jesus, washing them and cleansing them. And we just thank God for the opportunity we have in Canberra to share the gospel. We're not here to turn Talbot upside down. We are just passing through. It's you guys that... Oh, sorry, Helen, I'm not to say you guys. She will get me out of Hamlet again. You people in the churches here who know Jesus Christ, you're the one that have to preach the gospel in the long term. But we thank you we can have an input into your children. I must admit, I am quite excited about it. I was here 6 years ago, actually, and worked out in Peggy's house as a visitor's group, and we discovered I'd been there before, 6 years ago. 6 years ago. I think it was the first mission we did in this area. Okay, so the Lord bless you. Do you want to close?
Dave? Just close with prayer, please.
Sorry?
You close with prayer, please.
Yeah. Okay. Father, we want to thank you for the great joy we've had and meeting in the precious name of Jesus. That name is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do ask you, Father, for your blessing to be upon every household here, that they would know that joy and that peace that is theirs through Jesus Christ. As it says in Hebrews chapter 13, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good works to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God.